Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be chatting with my co-host, Jamie Madill, as we go through five super useful ways that you can start attracting more investors today. Now, one of the key hurdles that we find within the HMO Experience community that people struggle with is how to attract their first or subsequent investors. Now, in this episode of the podcast, Jamie and I are going to be chatting through some super useful hints, tips, and tricks that you can start using today to attract more investors for your HMO property business. We share when we started our own HMO property business, how we attracted our first investors, and we give you some useful insights and tactics that you can start using when you are looking for your first investor. So please make sure that at the end of the episode, you head over to the HMO Experience website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk, where you can download a number of free resources, including the 11 steps to building your own successful HMO property business. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you get notified every week when a new episode drops. Now that the intro is done, let's head over to the show. Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris. Welcome to episode 40 of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. I'm here with Jamie. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi guys, good to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Amazing. We are on episode 40 and today we're talking about marketing to attract investors. So in the last episode, we covered marketing to attract landlords and also to put yourself in front of agents. This episode, we're going to go one step further to help you with, putting yourself in front of investors to help with your finance projects that you have or projects that you're looking at. So that being said, we're going to cover off a few bits. And I think that is a nice little intro for me to hand over to Jamie to cover off the bits that we're going to be talking about in this episode.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Passing the baton over. So, nicely swerved there. So what we're going to be doing is going through some of the key things you need to do to raise your profile, to raise your credibility, give yourself some authority. And the benefit for that, of doing that when trying to attract investors to finance your property investments, if you're looking to buy HMOs, of course, or indeed to scale and help you fund your growth of your rent to HMO business, is really to keep going, to build a platform to create the long-term wealth and value you want from this business and this investment. So we're going to be covering today some of the key things that you can actually go and do right now to go and raise your profile and visibility to start marketing yourself. Many of these things are free. Some of them cost a small amount of money or investment, but the return on that investment can be substantial. I'm going to be sharing some examples of people that we know who've implemented some of the things that we have suggested, and anecdotally we've heard from other people do as well, to really attract the investment they need. And it is, some of the stories are absolutely extraordinary. So we're going to be looking at which platforms you can use online, for example, to start promoting yourself. We're going to be looking at how you can go to property or business networking events to promote yourself. We're going to be talking about how you can access and then be part of online groups. We're also going to be looking at where you can go, where you can hang out, where potential investors are going to be, give you some tips on that, and therefore create a plan so you can actually go and do that. And finally, we're going to look at some of the materials that you need, or we would recommend that you create, to help reinforce your marketing message, because it's all very well and good saying the stuff, hanging out in the right places, meeting potential investors. But if you haven't got something physical to show them, then again, you might fall at the first hurdle. So we're going to be talking about all those things.
Nice. Cool. So I guess before we just jump into all of that, Jamie, you guys have been investing for a while. Like, give us a little bit of background as to how you started working with your first investor or first investors. It'd be quite handy.
Sure. Okay. So the first thing I did, oh gosh, I can't even remember when it was, about 1,000 years ago, probably about 2011. I'd never raised money before. I didn't think I was capable of it. I thought, why am I investable? You know, what on earth have I got? How can I benefit somebody else? And I had a real sort of limiting belief about raising money. I just didn't think I was worthy of it. And there were so many other people out there who I could see who were much more confident and had lots of track record behind them that could actually go and do this stuff. And so that's the first thing that I had a real challenge with. And the very first, I raised some private investor finance. It was a loan. It was for a year. And it was for the grand total of £25,000. And at that time, which is great. And that was more money than I'd ever borrowed before. So for me, it was a bit of a moment. But I borrowed that money off someone who I'd known for about a year in the property community I was part of. And we got to know each other. We liked each other. He saw something that thought I was pretty much a safe pair of hands. And I was buying at that time a few single let properties and I'd run out of cash. So I literally could not get any more unless I had to try and find funding elsewhere. And the guy's name was Nick. Nick was brilliant. Nick lent me £25,000 and that helped me fund not only some of the purchasing costs, such as the legals and the conveyancing costs and the broker fees to go and buy one of the single lets. It was actually Colton Road up in Leeds, actually, a little three-story, three-bedroom terraced house. And at the time, again, that he helped me with that purchase through lending me that money. But he also, the funding also helped me to finance the refurbishment. And as it was a single let property targeting some working people, all I really had to do was spend some of that extra cash that Nick had lent me to renovate the bathroom and the kitchen, put new carpets down and basically make it a bit more presentable, a bit of paint, etc. So I did all that. And that was the first time I was able to raise the money. Then I was terrified, having borrowed the money, how on earth am I going to pay it back? So that was, again, just one of those things I really struggled to get my head around. But having added value into that single let property and then renting it out, I had to wait 6 months after getting it rented out before I could then remortgage it to try and pull out some of the value I'd created. And I did remortgage out. It's a great mortgage broker who helped me refinance that. And I got the monies back, which then I could pay Nick back, not only the £25,000 I borrowed, but also the interest rate that I agreed to pay that was rolled up and payable at the end of the term. So that was really the first moment. And on the back of that, I've just learned from that experience, learned not to worry too much about the whole process, because there is a process. We'll cover that on this episode of the pod. But just, you can do it. You are investable. It's about working out what value you can give to somebody else, not just what you, how you can benefit yourself. And on the back of that, I've been able to be very fortunate to follow the process. And myself and Steve and Alex, our business partner, between us, both individually and together and for clients, we've bought something like 34, 35 HMOs now using other people's money, using the same process. So it's about getting started.
And it's a tried and tested process, because obviously you guys are 35 properties in, right? So it does work. I think you're right. I think the first hurdle is, you know, believing that you're investable, right? That you have something, that you bring something to the table. Because I think I had, well, not quite a similar situation, but just, you know, I looked at where I could potentially raise money. And the only person that there's been one person that, you know, where one investor who I've been working with since the start of the business a couple of years ago, Dion, and you know, we've built up a relationship, and it has just come from starting to have a coffee first off, just met completely by chance. And, you know, had a few conversations, looked at the opportunity of working together. And then I think when it got to the point of, you know, having an opportunity, I presented it to Dion and just said, look, have a look at this and let me know what you think. Let me know whether other people would be interested in it. And sort of going from there. So I think you're right. It is, the first one kind of affirmed your belief. I think once you have the first deal locked down, and, you know, fingers crossed, obviously you've done all of your due diligence and it goes to plan. And I guess, you know, we should probably spend a little bit of time discussing the situation where things don't quite go to plan and how you deal and manage that sort of situation. But I think that for me definitely was the biggest hurdle to overcome, just to be like, okay, you know, I know my stuff reasonably well enough. But just to have that affirmation, I guess, from someone else to be like, yeah, actually,
yeah.
I'm, you know, I back you to be able to execute on this. And then once you've done it once, you're like, okay, that wasn't actually as hard as I had it made out in my head. So I think it's a great feeling once you get the first one done. And then it's just seeing, you know, how can I duplicate this, replicate it, improve upon it. And like you say, you've got a tried and tested process. So why don't we sort of delve a little bit deeper into, you know, you're putting yourself out there, making yourself visible, and also the steps that you, you've gone through repeatedly to you know, get further investment.
Sure. I will do that now, Matt. But before I do so, you picked up a brilliant point there, which is obviously you get the belief of doing it, and once you've done it once, then it becomes easier, and it certainly does. Of course, the key proviso is that you actually do what you said you're going to do. Pay the money back. You know, if it's a loan, you got to pay the money back. Of course, hopefully that goes without saying, but I just wanted to stress it. But here's the benefit of doing it the very first time: is not only, as you quite rightly say, you have that belief that you can do it, you're building confidence. But also the investor who's lent you the money, if it's a loan we're talking about here, not a JV. Again, we could talk about some of those things. We've touched on a few other podcast episodes before. But if it is a loan, for example, and you've paid the money back, you've done exactly what you said you're going to do as per your agreement with them, then the chances are they might want to do it again. And therefore, the whole effort up front of promoting yourself and marketing yourself to potential investors means it gives you a greater opportunity in the future to have a ready-made bank of private investors who will just fund your next property deals.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth the effort up front. And it is a bit of effort, and we'll go through some of those things now. Yeah. But for, you know, imagine if your investor, if Dion had a great experience with you the first time around, you've paid the money back, the chances are he's going to and has funded multiple projects.
Yeah.
In the same way, the effort up front is definitely worth it. Because I see sort of lots of people saying, you know, well, I don't really need the money. I've got some money in the bank. I've got access to funding. And that's cool. Mm. But most people run out of money. Unless you're as rich as, I don't know, Midas. You're going to run out of cash. Everybody runs out of cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also a very smart way of leveraging other people's money too. You can do more deals, bigger deals, better deals, faster deals, if you're not reliant on your own source of cash. Yeah. So hopefully that also helps sort of set the scene.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, to get the ball rolling, I think it is probably the first sort of milestone is to kind of make yourself visible, right? To let people know what you're doing, you know, the type of projects or the type of opportunities that you're coming across or looking to, you know, looking to execute on. So I think a big part of that is obviously social media. Would you agree? I think,
definitely.
I think, you know, being active on social. I know a lot of people, prefer sort of Facebook as their go-to, I think, for the sort of property community in terms of, you know, visibility and telling people about what they're doing. I do think, LinkedIn also now has been and will be for the foreseeable future, a great platform to, you know, put yourself out there and in front of prospective investors, but just generally like telling your story on social, letting people know, you know, what you're about, what you're doing, the areas you cover, you know, what specifically you're investing in or looking to invest in. And that, you know, we go back to, I know we had a previous episode where we spoke a little bit about mindset, and that in itself is a little bit of a barrier for some people to overcome, right? In terms of putting themselves out there. But it needs to be overcome because, you know, people like social proof. There's the social media is available to, you know, have a visibility about that and get a bit of, get a bit of background and due diligence on people, you know, to see what they're up to. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also important to stress that nobody really likes doing this stuff. No one really likes, you know, the Facebook lives or social media posts, which is sharing their some knowledge or experience, because what is absolutely certain when you do this is you'll be judged. You'll get a reaction one way or the other. Sure. And it's up to you how you take that judgment. Hopefully, 99 times out of 100, it'll be, well done, positive, thanks for the share, great post. As long as you're providing value in your social media posts, you're sharing some of your knowledge. If you haven't gotten the experience yet in HMOs, for example, but you can be talking about projects you're looking at and why you're looking at them, or maybe an area you're looking to go into, why are you looking for that area? That, again, is sharing knowledge and useful content. But if you're not providing content and just saying, this is me, this is how great I am, invest with me now, then you'll also get a reaction which might be a more negative one. So don't worry about what the reaction is. As long as you're providing an honest appraisal, an opinion, sharing your thoughts on what you were doing and why you were doing it, which will be useful to somebody else watching that, then, and you do it consistently, which is something I struggle with, I must admit, but try and do is that consistency. And you're brilliant at this, Matt. If you're consistently getting out there on social, you are going to be a much more of an authoritative figure than if you post once every month or once every 6 weeks or once every now and again. Sure. So share your content, share your knowledge, provide value. Don't say, you know, I've got some money. I need some money, got a great deal. Never ask for the cash. Never try and sell a deal. Just share some of your experiences. And you can always say at the end of the posts, if you want to find out more, private message me, DM me, get in touch, email me, whatever it might be. But ask them, give people a reason and a method to get back in contact with you. So you can then have a conversation about, obviously, who they are, what they need, and how you could potentially help. But never ask for the cash on social media. Man. Can I just quickly share with you a story that I was told, an actual real conversation I had 2 days ago with one of our masterminders. Yeah. So I won't tell you her name for confidentiality's point of view, but she's part of the mastermind. And she raised £500,000 over Christmas, 2019 to 2020, just by sharing some of her experience and knowledge in property. Yeah. And she really needed money to invest and keep going. Hence, we gave her some of these tips on social media. And she raised £500,000 over Christmas to go and buy more properties, which is cool. And she was primarily using Instagram for that. And she was getting her daughter to actually help promote herself using Instagram, so she didn't have to do it herself.
Yeah.
But she told me 2 days ago she's now raised over £1.5 million, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
This can be life-changing access to finance. And it's all about marketing yourself in a way that you feel comfortable. So just want to share that.
Yeah, that's amazing. On Instagram primarily as well.
On Instagram, yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
I need to step up my Instagram game.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God. I'd like a 1.5 million. Right?
Yeah,
that'd be great. I've got loads of opportunities. Anyway, so self.
Exactly.
We've got to do that too. So social. What about a second area, Matt, we want to talk about, which is networking?
Yeah, networking. So my experience networking has been a bit mixed. I'll be perfectly honest. I know... when I started out on the journey, I wasn't necessarily as confident, perhaps, to, you know, go out there and sort of talk about what I am doing, because I just started out, so I wasn't really doing very much other than some research. But it is, you know, a key area to sort of build up connections and build relationships. Obviously, face-to-face is a lot different from an interaction perspective than it is on social media, where you're just putting stuff out and, you know, people will comment or whatever. Whereas at networking events, you actually, or pre all the madness going on, you were able to stand in front of people and talk to them. But I do think it is a very important part in, you know, certainly building your network and making connections with people who could potentially either fund or point you in the right direction to fund or help out. And I think you definitely have far more experience on the networking side than I have. Obviously, with PPN St Pancras, you and Steve have been running that for a number of years, and undoubtedly you've seen quite a few opportunities there from people who've attended the networking event, or you know yourself, where you've come across opportunities, or people who've you know offered to work with you. So share a little bit around that.
Yeah, so in, I think it was 2014, Steve and I started PPN St Pancras. So PPN is Progressive Property Network. I'm part of the team with Rob Moore and Mark Homer at Progressive Property that created the franchise, which is now sold as a property networking franchise across the world. We've got an extraordinary number of events now, including in the Middle East, and we're looking to expand further. Mm-hmm. So from someone looking to raise their profile, to potentially have that as a platform to give them credibility and authority, and almost like the go-to person in your local area, controlling or buying a franchise or running your own networking event can be a great way of doing it. But as you say, Matt, it's also about turning up. So as an attendee, as someone who wants to go and promote and market themselves, then what better way, in a sort of much more targeted way, much more efficient way, than going to your local property networking or even business networking event to promote yourself, raise awareness of what, who you are and what you do. The key thing here, again, from a marketing point of view, is never to ask for the money. Hopefully this stuff's common sense, but I do see it time and time again. Yeah. Never ask for the money. Never go there with deals to say, I'm looking for cash, who's got some. I think your approach, which is a lot more effective, is literally to start building connections at those events. So go regularly to the same events. Yeah. So you become, you know, visible. And then it's a case of, you know, scheduling a call or jumping and having a coffee with someone to get to know each other a bit more. And then talking about primarily what they need and how you can potentially help them. Mm. That is a, I think, a much more simpler, more effective way, and certainly non-salesy way to see if you can work together with someone, either on a loan basis or a JV basis. But it's about doing it nicely, subtly, consistently, without coming across as, you know, desperately needing cash. And also, you know, you could potentially be finding people at those events that you could work with for years. Mm. So it's about, you know, making sure you get on well, share common values. But again, we've covered some of those things before in a previous episode, and I'm sure we'll be doing future podcast episodes on that too, because there's so much interest. We get lots of interesting inquiries about how to raise money, how to promote and market yourselves in a slightly different way. And it's a bigger topic, so we'll definitely do future episodes on that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think you mentioned there it is about consistency, and a lot of this is groundwork, right? You do need to, you know, you need to put in the consistent effort, consistently turning up at the same place, because, you know, there'll be other people who are showing up there as well regularly, whether it's, you know, monthly or weekly. I think some events go on weekly as well. But it's just, it's being there, putting yourself in the position to, you know, have that conversation and be seen, right? Because you just don't know where it's going to end up. You just don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm sure you get this too, Matt, but I have people contacting me who saw me at an event a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the greatest respect to them, I'm sure, obviously, I recall everyone's face and name, but they saw me because I was at an event and I spoke about the same thing, and I'm still, you know, going to those events. I'm still visible. I haven't swapped strategies left, right, and center. So there's an element of consistency there, and that attracts people who want to work with you. So I think you're absolutely right. Go there regularly, be seen, and have that as a platform, and put the effort in up front, because it does get easier. And hopefully you'll have a bit of fun doing networking too.
Yeah, for sure. I think as an extension of networking, so whereas networking is obviously focused on a particular subject matter, i.e. property or business, you know, there's BNI and a load of other sort of business networking groups. One of the ways that I was told a while ago, right at the start of the journey, was to actually show up to places where people who could have money to invest will be, such as, you know, golf clubs, private members clubs, you know, swanky hotels, that type of stuff. And to be perfectly honest, I live in Watford, and there's only one really nice hotel in Watford. It's the Grove. And I spent...
That's a nice hotel.
It's though, a really nice hotel.
It's gorgeous, that place.
Yeah,
I mean, you really can't nice have hotel. One. That's not bad.
Yeah, no. And that's that. You know, that's where I ended up meeting Dion. So I spent probably a good 18 months maybe working up at the Grove, you know, whether it's whether it was a day a week or a couple of days a week. And yeah, obviously there's a little bit of investment that goes into that because, you know, you can't just sit there and work. You need to buy coffee, you need to buy some water, and every now and again you have a bite to eat. But I think it, you know, putting yourself in a position where, and it's much easier to start a conversation in that sort of scenario as well, because, you know, I would see people there just from being there regularly. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. But, you know, you say hello and before you know it, they sit down next to you and you have a chat and, you know, one thing leads to another. And, you know, I was introduced to Dion through his daughter who was working at the Grove. So that's kind of how it all came about. And that's how, you know, we ended up sitting down and having a coffee. But I think, you know, putting yourself in a position where you could, you know, speak with people who would be open to investing, you know, have the resources to invest is massively important as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's all about where you hang out and what you're prepared to do when you hang out at those places. So if, for example, you had been slightly more shy and retiring and not had a conversation with someone who worked at the Grove who happened to be Dion's daughter, then the chances are you could have sat there for a year, year and a half, and no one would have known about you.
Yeah.
But you've actually become more visible by going there and then talking to people. In the same way that we talked about raising your profile on social media or going to networking events, there's an element of you maybe pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and speaking to other people. But I completely agree. Another example of someone I helped and mentored in the early days, an amazing woman called Jackie Tones. And Jackie, when she was being mentored by me initially, her very first session, she was mid-20s, zero property experience, didn't have much money to invest herself, so had no other choice apart from trying to raise her profile and use other people's money to buy a property. And she was amazing because she did exactly what I recommended. She joined a local private members club in central London. I think it was Home House. And there's an investment there. But Jackie was brilliant. She consistently went to Home House. She hung around there, spoke to people who and worked from Home House too, in the same way that you did at the Grove. And she's met some investors on the back of that who just having conversations, surrounding herself with people in that environment. She's now built, the last time I saw her and spoke to her, I think it's £5.8 million worth of property portfolio, using basically none of her own money. So, was there time and effort and a bit of cost up front to put herself in the right place? Yes. But look at the results that she's got on the back of it. Because she did well with raising the finance initially, but she then delivered on whatever the agreement was with that private investor. And that private investor has done multiple investments with her. They then speak to people they know. Again, word of mouth is incredibly powerful here. And they're investing with her too. So you can see how the time and effort up front can really snowball and benefit you. Especially if you're in this for the medium to long term. So yeah, I love your example in the Grove. Jackie did amazingly well too. And it just shows that this stuff works.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, we've given two or three really good sort of areas that people can look to position themselves in, to put themselves in front of prospective investors. I think the next stage, obviously, you know, you start a conversation with someone. Whether you're just starting out on your journey or, you know, you're a little bit further down the line, like what resources do you suggest people have available when they you know, start conversations with people about, you know, the potential of working together?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think you've got to prepare yourself for those conversations because they will happen. Yeah. The more you put yourself out there, they will happen. And therefore, how are you going to position yourself in a way that gives confidence and credibility and authority about you and what you do? Some of the easiest ways of doing that is going back to basics. And basics means, do you have a business card that basically clearly explains who you are and what you do? is that a professional one? Does it look good? Again, none of this stuff is difficult. It doesn't cost very much. But there are so many resources now where you can get a really decent business card created. Mm. But also, I want to share some examples of either what you are doing or what you would like to do in property. And we've shared on previous episodes an amazing friend of mine, Kevin Whelan from Wealth Builders. Mm. Always shout out to Kevin, because Kevin shared with us a number of years ago this concept that he's coined, which is called the 10 Pillars of Trust. And these are just 10 things that him and his colleagues look for when looking to invest in other people. Have they done these things as a basic point of reference? If they have, then they're definitely worthy to have further conversations. And I know we've covered that previously, but a quick recap. It's about how to make yourself look like an investable person. Mm. And having a marketing material or brochure that you can either have in your live conversations or send to someone to then set up, you know, a future conversation or a copy. So a couple of things include, if you've got experience, great, put down information about you and what you've done. Doesn't necessarily have to be about property. It could be from your corporate life or what you've done elsewhere. What are the transferable skills you've got, which will then be useful in your brand new property business? Of course, if you've got property experience, put that in there too. People are buying people. They're buying into you. Also, put some examples of properties that you've done. If you've got some examples with photos and numbers, if you haven't done any yet, put examples of properties you are looking at the moment or would like to take on board. And then just basically explain a bit more about you and the team and the service you're offering. Yeah. So if you're looking to raise finance or on a loan basis or do JVs, explain that in a very simple way in your marketing material. And then, of course, give people contacts where they can follow up and have a conversation with you. If it's on a call, whatever you do, or a meeting face-to-face, use the document you've got, a professionally designed document, which, again, doesn't cost much. And we can put contacts in the show notes of how you can get your brochures and business cards created. But that little bit of effort and time up front, it gives you such a great opportunity to position yourself at the very first meeting in the best way.
Yeah.
And I was running a training event last weekend, and one of the guys in the room who bought the training was a letting agent in London. And we were talking about rent to HMO. And he gets approached all the time with people who want to do rent to HMO, right? And he won't even look at anybody if they've got a Gmail or Hotmail email address. He won't even look at them or have a further conversation unless they've got a business card and a marketing bit of material or a website. So, you know, that's a London letting agent here and now saying they want to work with people on a rent to HMO basis, but they will whittle people out who haven't got that stuff, who haven't put that effort in up front. So definitely worth doing.
Yeah, for sure. I think before you guys introduced me to the 10 pillars, when I started out, I prepared a pitch deck. I think it was like maybe a 10 or 12 page document, which basically just said, gave a bit of research about the property market in general, why I was focusing on HMOs, why I chose the area that I chose, Northwest London, giving a couple of examples as to the types of properties and that we're looking to take on a rent-to-rent basis, and giving, you know, an illustration of the sort of numbers, the money that was required to get a property set up and the potential earnings and over what period of time those earnings could be achieved as well. And just based on all of that, put it in, a sort of PDF style brochure. And before I even got it printed out, I'd sent it to a couple of people, one of whom was Dion, just say, look, have a look at this, like give me some, critique, give me some feedback as to whether or not you would want to see anything else, whether it can be improved upon, whether I need to include some more information. And off the back of that as well, and the conversations that I'd had with Dion previously, we ended up working together. So I only actually used that pitch deck, I think, twice. One was with Dion and one was with my lease-based business partners as well, just to say, look, there's an opportunity here. Let's do something. So it does work. And did it require a bit of effort? For sure. Did I know how to put together a pitch deck? Not really, but that's what Google was for, right? So I look at Google you know, got an example of a few others, thought, okay, this is how I could structure mine to put something together. And it just kind of, it went from there. And like you say, did it take a bit of time? Of course it did. Was it worth the effort? Like, immeasurably, right? It definitely worth the effort. Now I think we're going through a process of sort of updating. I think we're probably on our third version because, you know, things change a little bit and you've got, once you're up and running, you've got a better handle on the numbers and the proposal that you can put forward and that kind of thing. But it's definitely worth having, you know, some material, whether it's a brochure or if you've got, you know, existing deals, a portfolio, just to say, look, this is what I'm already doing. Because it also just adds an extra level of validation. You know, if you're just starting up, it shows, or it would show me as a, if I was a prospective investor, actually, you've spent time and effort and you've done some research to prepare a document which gives me an outline of what you're intending to do. So there is definitely worth having more of a conversation. That doesn't mean to say that I'm going to commit to giving you some money, but it means that, you know, I'm interested enough to continue having a conversation with you and seeing where that goes.
Yeah. And if you're expecting someone to maybe lend you tens of thousands or maybe even hundreds of thousands of pounds, or even invest with you and your business for that sort of figure or higher, then, you know, it's doing them a disservice if you're not prepared to put this effort in up front. Yeah, because how on earth can you expect them to invest in you and become a potential long-term investor or business partner if you can't even put together a professional-looking pack that explains not only what you do, but how your service operates, how you're different from other people, and therefore it gives them a reason, as you say, to have further conversations and maybe even invest with you. So it's definitely worth doing. I think gone are the days, because it's very competitive now, especially in this current market, that you can just get away with, you know, talking a good game. You've got to show something. You've got to show what you're good at, why you're good, and why you're investable.
Yeah.
And what better way to not only help you overcome your limiting beliefs in your own mind that are, you know, you might be thinking you're not good enough. What better way to do this to create really professional looking materials to then showcase to other people? Because then you'll think, actually, I'm really good at this stuff. I can do it. I haven't done it yet. I can now do it. I can see it. It's in black and white or it's in color. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely worth doing.
And I think all the things you've spoken about, so, you know, putting yourself out there on social, putting out valuable content and, you know, sharing your journey with people, obviously doing the face-to-face or the online networking as it is currently. And then having, you know, once you get in front of someone who's interested in having more of a conversation with you, like having a document, you know, a point of sale or a value proposition, which is wrapped up in a brochure to give to people. I think, you know, those are like really important elements which combine kind of put you in a much better position rather than, you know, talking to someone cold and then not really knowing much or not being able to find much about you.
Exactly. Do you think it's not going to hurt, is it?
It's not going to hurt.
Sure, it's going to put yourself in the best possible position.
Yeah, it requires a bit of effort for sure. But I think, you know, in the long run, as there's plenty of examples that have proven this, you know, it is worth the effort. So I think out of all the bits that we've covered, Jamie, do you think we've missed anything off? I know we're, you know, in the next episode, we're going to delve a little bit deeper about the sort of structures that you can be talking about with investors, whether it's loan or JVs and, you know, the FCA regulations and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of marketing and putting yourself in front of prospective investors, do you think we've covered most, if not all, of the bases?
Yeah, I do. And don't feel overwhelmed. For those of you watching this on YouTube, or indeed listen to this on whichever podcast platform you listen to it on, don't think I'll do everything. Just pick one or two things that we've covered today. We've given you, I think, six tips. Pick one or two and do it consistently. But I would strongly recommend, if you do nothing else, you get your marketing brochure, your materials done, because that's going to position yourself with whatever other ways of marketing you use to give yourself the best opportunity to work with investors to raise finance or do JVs.
Perfect. Oh, my God. So let's just end it there. Jamie, I think we've given loads of golden nuggets in this episode. make sure you tune in for next week's episode when we do delve a little bit deeper in terms of the structures that you could be looking at when working with prospective investors. But for now, we're going to call it a day. So it is goodbye from me, and it is goodbye from Jamie.
Bye, guys. Good to have you here. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.